Morning. Welcome to the Radio Today programme. We have another special guest host this week and another very special guest. We'll tell you all about that in just a second. But first of all, let me thank you for getting in touch with your offers of doing interviews for this podcast. And we will be getting through those over the next few weeks and months. Without further ado, let's do it.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Find out how we're changing radio all over again at bionic.radio.
Thank you, Roy. So, as Stuart Clarkson continues to socially distance himself from the podcast, it's my turn to be your supply teacher this week. Before we hear from the radio legend and the person you've actually come to this podcast to listen to, let's address the elephant in the room. You probably have no idea who I am, and that's fair. Hello, I'm Chris Burks, and right now I'm making programmes at BBC Radio Derby. I also host a weekly show on a Christian radio station called Connect Radio, and I love to coach and mentor presenters and content creators as well. Before that, I worked with Robin Banks at High FM in Oman. I launched More Radio in Sussex and presented a breakfast show as well. I've had stints at Hearts and the Hits Radio. And before all that, I presented across the Hit Music Network. Do you remember that? Mercury FM in Crawley, 1017 in Harlow, Mercury 966 in Hertfordshire, Leicester Sound, Ram FM in Derby, and the mighty Trent FM in Nottingham, which is where I met today's guest. Because thankfully, he gave me a job. Former group programme director, presenter, and winner of Derby's Best Moustache 1989, Dick Stone, welcome to the Radio Today programme.
Mr. Burks, nice to virtually meet you again after all these years.
Congratulations on the new role at Jack FM.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really exciting. The Jack Radio Group is one of the very few remaining independently owned commercial radio groups. So it's very exciting to be in there. Nice, small, agile and creative team and six radio stations to play with, three national, three regional. So yeah, lots to do and lots of fun to be had.
We'll get on to Jack at the end, but I'm going to steal a phrase from James O'Brien and we'll begin at the beginning. Where did your love of radio come from?
Gosh, when I lived at home with my parents, they had a big old Bush radio with valves in the back that didn't work. And I made it, just brought it back to life, started it working. And I spent afternoon after afternoon after school just going up and down the dial listening to what I could hear. And it started to intrigue me. And I was sort of bitten by the radio bug at that early age. Started recording things off the radio for, you know, the chart show on a Sunday, which I think most people of around my age used to do. Tom Brown's Top 20, as it used to be. The only time that Radio 1 would be on FM at the time, on Sunday afternoon, 5 till 7. So I did all of that. And then was really keen and interested in radio, and then it was hospital radio in Derby that I went along to and did that for 9 years, and then Trent was opening a service in Derby at the time, and I applied to that. That journey was a fascinating one, because, you know, my oldest friend who I met at hospital radio, who is known to the world as Gary Burton. It's not his real name. Dick Stone is not my real name, but that's radio. We both applied and sent demos to Trent at the same time. He got an interview, I didn't. So I then decided to do an impression of David Lloyd. So I did this impression of David Lloyd and got an interview. The problem with that is I then had to carry on doing it. That was sort of my first sort of journey into radio, was like, oh, okay, this is a bit weird. There was a lot to do and a lot to learn, and it was bigger and bolder and brighter than obviously anything I'd done before. But I mean, in those days, we would do, both Gary and I, would take it in turns in either being the person who would do all the swing work, or we would cart commercials. So that was it, really. One week doing carting commercials, the next week doing overnights. So, you know, I think I pretty much did every single day part around the entire schedule in the week.
There's an amazing video online for any radio geeks, which I'm sure there are plenty that listen to the Radio Today program. And it's Danny Cox doing Charting the Charts on YouTube, and it's him doing the network chart live from Castle Gate in Nottingham, where the old Trent Studios used to be. And there's a moment in there where he crosses to Mark Eaton Park, and it's a young Dick Stone doing the album chart.
It is indeed, and I remember it very, very well. The first or second show that I did, because the problem with charts, of course, everything has to be back timed because you're going to go down to the number one. So you need to have time for the number one. And I'd really messed up my back timing, and I had about a minute left of the number one. So it was an awful first or second show, and I felt really, really bad. But I was followed by the late John Shaw, who used to do a show called Hebe Dragons on a Sunday night. Bizarre, I know, but had a sort of cult following. And he sort of said, don't worry about it, you'll be fine, you won't make that mistake again. And he was absolutely right. So that was my first regular shift, really. And then Derby's my hometown, and to do the breakfast show back to my hometown, which again I did for about 9 years all told, was just a great honour and was great fun. So there are still the odd person that I meet every now and then who remembers their Dick in the Morning.
Some people will be listening to this programme, and it will be people of a younger generation who know you from management as a programme director and someone that they look up to, and they'll be like, I'm sorry, Dick Stone is not his real name.
Ah, yes.
And well, is that where Dick Stone came from? Was it genuinely just for a laugh, for a jingle on a breakfast show?
No, it wasn't, because like I say, Gary Burton isn't his real name. Dick Stone isn't my real name, because there were people on the radio station that had similar names to our real names. So we had to find. I was asked to come up with a Christian name that had enough syllables so it could be sung in a jingle. So I chose Richard, which then got shortened to Dick by the launch breakfast show presenter of RAM, which was Andy Marriott. He shortened it to Dick Stone, and it stuck.
And then Dick in the Morning was born.
Indeed it was, yeah. Yeah, Dick in the Morning was born. And bizarrely, I mean, you know, it's probably because we didn't have any listeners, but, you know, no one ever used to call up and say, how on earth can you say that? Or how on earth can you do that? But, you know, I think there was always the firm tongue in cheek.
So you went from doing the breakfast show at Trent that became RAM. After that, what was the journey from doing breakfast there into programme management? Is that what you always wanted to do? Was it just sort of putting programmes together, helping people put programmes together, and that just kind of became a programme management role?
I think anybody who's on the air knows that feeling of euphoria that you get when you've done what you believe is a good show, that kind of buzz that you might get, or an idea that you come up with and you manage to do it without messing it up, and you get that kind of punch in the air moment. And that was always my desire. That was always my motivation. And that's what I really liked. And then I started getting more involved in the running of the Derby station. While still being on the air. And then I remember doing what we would now call a coaching session with somebody, and then hearing them improve their on-air performance as a result of something that I'd said or done. And that gave me the same buzz as doing it myself. And that was the moment then the penny dropped, I think, that, you know, I thought, actually, I can't be on the air forever because I'm not good enough. I was a good enough programmer to know that I shouldn't be on the air. So I got the similar kind of punch the air moments from hearing somebody else do something better as a result of something that I might have said or done.
How long all in all were you at Trent?
When I left Global, I had been at Trent through Radio Trent Group, Midlands Radio, Capital Radio Group for a year, GWI, GCAP, and then Global for 33 and a half years by the point I left.
Which is an incredible achievement.
Well, clinging on, whilst my knuckles had turned white at the end.
But you weren't, though, were you? I know it's self-deprecating when you say clinging on, But you look at the performance of Trent and you look at the people that have gone through that building. And yes, success breeds success. So a successful brand, a successful radio station like Trent was attractive to talent. Talent wanted to come and work at Trent. You know, the presenters that were doing well, that were the favorites of the group, were always sort of like, oh, have you thought about Trent? You know, you have been responsible for the growth of that radio station and obviously the talent that came through the door, and some huge names, including others, outliers like me, worked at Trent. You know, I just wonder what it's like to go from managing wannabes like me to coaching an incredibly well-performing breakfast show, a breakfast show that owned Nottingham, Derby before that, owned Nottingham for years and years and years. Your coaching method, is it the same for everyone? I know you can't treat every talent the same, but is the ethos the same for whoever it is that sat the other side of the table?
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. But yes, I think it is really, because fundamentally it starts with whoever you're talking to. So I remember walking into the studio in Castlegate, in Studio A, and John Peters was on the air. Now, John Peters launched Trent in Nottingham, and you know, he was the first voice. So I was then the program controller. And so, well, how can I give John any feedback? It's ridiculous. You know, he's got so much more experience than me, all of those things. And I think it was John that said to me at the time, he said, you know, you will hear things and you will see things differently based on your perspective, and you'll probably hear stuff that I won't hear. So actually your opinion is just as valid and is just as important as anybody else's. So tell me what you think. You know, and that was the point that I thought, actually, there's no point being afraid of whether it's Chris Burks coming to talk to me or doing a show, or whether it's, I had some very fun times chatting and talking with Simon Bates and David Jensen and others at Smooth. It doesn't matter who it is, because, you know, everyone wants to do a better job. And if I can help them do that, then great.
Did you ever look out for a particular characteristic or an attribute? Because just from my time at Trent, and it was only 9 months, I genuinely felt part of a team, and every single person in that team consistently wanted to do better or push each other to do better. And the only way that that can happen is if the person who's hiring them kind of looks for a particular trait in somebody to make that happen. Have you always kind of looked for a set person?
No, I don't think it. Well, maybe I have. I'm just trying to analyze that myself now. This is like a couch. I don't think probably consciously, but I've always had the premise in my head of hire good people and you'll be okay. And now whether what good means is a very big question, but I think if you hire the sort of person that will want to step on somebody else in order to progress their own advantage, then that's probably not a good idea, because, you know, at some point or other they might step on the wrong person or step on you. Having said that, you know, building teams is really important, and that's all about communication. And you know, one of the lessons that we're learning now in 2020 with a lot of remote learning is and remote working is that, you know, building teams is down to those methods of communication and contact that you have. So, you know, whether it was, you know, in my previous job, which was, you know, looking after a large number of regional radio stations, or now with, you know, the three regional services in Oxford and the three national services, the communication elements that you build in are really important. So you need to have people in your teams that are open to that and don't just want to be insular, I suppose, but then they also make the better broadcasters too. So maybe those two things go hand in hand.
How did the Jack opportunity come about, Dick? Because after, you know, respectfully, after being at one employer for so long, was it a case of opening up Word and just going, I haven't done it, I haven't done one of these CVs in quite a while.
Yeah, you know.
I know it's a case of who you know, not what you know, even though you do know it. Was it a case of just sort of like, ooh, who do I know?
No, it really wasn't. I mean, when things were coming to a close in my previous job, then, you know, I put word out to as many people as I knew to say, hey, this has happened. I didn't expect this to kind of come along. So, yeah, what do you know? And somebody who I worked with many, many years ago, Ian Walker, who's one of the joint CEOs of the Jack Radio Group, got in touch. And as you know, or you might know, we've just recently launched a couple of new radio stations, Union Jack Dance and Union Jack Rock, which sort of share that same DNA as the Union Jack original, Union Jack Radio. And so Ian got in touch and said, we've got a project. Would you like to come and work on this project? We quite like some assistance working on this. So I was sort of working for myself at that point and got involved with Union Jack at that moment, helping the team pull together really as sort of project manager for Union Jack Dance and Union Jack Rock, with that British music at the core of what we do. And then also the comedy elements, which is very much a large part of what Union Jack Radio is all about, but 100% British. So I was involved in the project management of building that. Those two launches, which happened on the 11th of December last year. And then out of that, you know, again, another good friend of mine who I worked with many, many years ago, Craig Boddy, who was the content manager for the Jack Group, originally from New Zealand. He's going back to New Zealand. And so an opportunity came and it's like, well, would you like to do this? And having worked with Ian and Donoch and Giles Gear and Tim Smith, who works there, and a whole bunch of people that I've worked with before, it was such a lovely team, and the vibe that there is in that radio group is fantastic. Of course, Clive on the other side of the world in Australia, who, you know, we lamented just a while ago that we'd never actually worked together, or we had numerous conversations. So actually it was just a brilliant opportunity. And you know, it is rare in radio with, you know, there are big groups and they do what they do and that's all very good, no problems at all. But you know, the Jack Radio Group is, as I say, one of the last remaining independently owned commercial radio groups. And it's a small, very creative team that gives us, you know, a fleet of foot. We can do stuff differently. We've got some big opportunities and some big ambitions.
Without revealing too much, because you obviously won't tell me anyway.
I won't tell you.
No, 2021, obviously, we've got no idea what it's going to look like for the rest of the year. We don't know when everything is going to get back to normal, which is a phrase that everyone keeps using. As someone who's come in as, you know, a group content manager with an eye on the future, growing talent, you know, bringing potential new program strands in, all that kind of stuff, what do you see Jack, the group, evolving like under you for the next sort of 12 months?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that.
No, didn't think so. Cool.
No, yeah, fine. No, all I'll say is, look, like I say, you know, Jack is one of the very, well, if not the only, independently, you know, commercial radio groups. And so, you know, there's a small nucleus in that team that is very creative and very, very passionate. And, you know, with the resources that we've currently got of the you know, three national services and three regional services, and 100% British output on, you know, Union Jack, there's a lot that we can do with that. I mean, you know, Britain's got some great musical heritage and great musical depth. And, you know, we demonstrate that on Union Jack Radio, but also on Union Jack Rock from the rock standpoint, and also dance, because we've got a huge dance heritage in Britain, and we add to that with the comedy that we play, which, you know, makes it broader than just a music strand, and get involved in interesting things like the Leicester Comedy Festival and which is coming up in February, and it's still on, by the way. So, you know, those kind of things. So there is so much that we can do, bearing in mind also that, you know, the Jack Group has seen big increases in radio during the pandemic, and, you know, is a radio station that's launched two radio stations in the middle of a pandemic, two national radio stations in the middle of a pandemic, and has got some great talent. I mean, one of the things, you know, the Britishness that runs through the Union Jack brand is a very big deal for us. And, you know, if you look at other countries around the world, you know, like Canada or France, where there is a requirement of homegrown music on their radio stations, well, you know, Union Jack Dance, Union Jack Rock and Union Jack Radio are 100% British. So we would tick that box, absolutely. And the other thing that we do is, you know, we lean very heavily on audience interaction. So I mentioned Mark Labette, the beast from The Chase. We have a brilliant interactive pub quiz with Mark Labette every Tuesday and Thursday, which is going to restart very soon. Some great creative interactivity via the apps. To make that a bit different than just a pub quiz on the radio, which, you know, I know a lot of people might have done. And so, you know, we've got some big ideas, really, that we can start to play out in 2021 as soon as we can get back in the building.
Mate, it was devastating to see you leave Global, because radio needs you. And what I mean by that is people that actually get it, that are still passionate about it, that just want to see radio thrive and want to see content grow and actually care about the people that make it. So I'm so glad that you know, not that you wouldn't, but that you got a gig and you got somewhere like Jack, which just you and the Jack Radio Group kind of seem to be a perfect fit. So it was obviously meant to be.
Oh, thanks very much indeed. That's very kind of you. And I'm so glad I set you up that regular direct debit for you to say nice things about me. It was one of the best investments I've ever made. No, look, I really thrive on developing great talent and developing great, you know, radio performance. And when I say radio, then that can be podcast. It's all one-to-one communication with the listener. In an audio form, and you know, whether that be, you know, audio on demand podcast kind of stuff, or whether it's live radio, linear radio, and developing someone's career, there are some fantastic untapped talent that, you know, I've probably got a list of names somewhere of people that I've heard demos from and given them some feedback, and hopefully that's been useful over the years. But, you know, I think having a vehicle to be able to develop that talent to the best of its potential is what I really thrive on, is what I really enjoy. And within the Jack Radio Group, we're doing a lot of that, and I want to do a lot more of it.
Dick, thank you so much for your time. Group Content Manager, Jack Radio Group, open for demos. Just email him anytime. It's absolutely fine. Make sure it's a WAV and it's 20 minutes long. Dick Stone, thank you, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thank you.
Right then, a quick cheeky plug from me. I mean, why not? You've got to take the opportunities when they come, haven't you? You can have a listen to my radio show, if you fancy it, on Connect Radio every Sunday night, 8 until 10. Have a search for it. And also check out my website for everything else that I do, chrisburks.co.uk.
Original music for this podcast was composed by
Mick Hazard. Thank you, Chris. Beautiful. And we'll have another special guest for you and a special host again next week on this very podcast. Just before I go, don't switch off. I want to tell you about Clean Feed, because whether it's an OB, an interview or co-hosting, Clean Feed is designed for radio podcasters, and now it's simple to connect live audio over the web. The quality is great and you can record it too. Clean Feed doesn't cost you anything to get started, and you can find out more at cleanfeed.net. And that's it. I have nothing else to add, but thank you so much for supporting this podcast. Thank you for continuing to listen, and we'll see you again next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mick Hazard.